Our lives are compound interest of the days that we create. Each choice that we make adds up. With every choice, we cast a vote of who we want to be and the life we want to live.
Welcome to Little Luxuries. I'm your host, Tara Wright Knudsen. This is a podcast all about embracing the small joys that make life feel rich and beautiful. From simple pleasures to intentional moments, we'll explore how to infuse luxury into our everyday routines, find fulfillment in our work, and savor the life we're creating. Because joy isn't just in the grand gestures, it's in the little things. Welcome to the show. Welcome back, my friends. I am so happy to be in the recording studio today, also known as my office, and back into the swing of recording episodes. It's been a really full season. The last 3 months have been a lot of change in our life, and I've missed the space and I have missed you. So I'm so excited to be back. You know, sometimes a pause isn't about an ending, right? It's just about making space for new stories to unfold. So today's episode is about the beauty of rest, the importance of taking a break from time to time. And it's also about how the little moments that shape our days help us to shape our lives. So let's dive in. All right, we've had some major life changes in our house in the last few months. We ended our summer taking what was really just like the trip of a lifetime. We took a family trip to Japan, traveled across the south end of the country from Tokyo to Kyoto down to Osaka, and then back to Tokyo for the last few days. We ate incredible food. For the first time in my adult life, thought to myself, I'm going to get lost when we were in Tokyo Station waiting for the bullet train to take us from Tokyo to Kyoto. I've never seen so many people in my life. We took thousands and thousands of steps every day, and we learned that it is really hot in Japan in the end of the summer. It was like 97 degrees every day and 95% humidity. We were just drenched in sweat and got really savvy at navigating the underground and finding cooling towels at our favorite convenience stores. You're either Team Family Mart, Team 7-Eleven, or Team Lawson. We all had a favorite. More than anything, the gift of being able to spend 2 weeks together, just the four of us, creating these incredible memories and experiencing a new culture was such a blessing. We knew when we went to Japan that it was going to feel like a culture shock from America and from where we live. We certainly don't have any trains running around Bainbridge Island. And the idea that there are millions of people moving through Tokyo every single day, it was so amazing to me, the grace and ease with which people moved. Like, people don't bump into each other. It's like this beautiful, chaotic dance as you're walking down the streets or moving through the metro. I was amazed by a few things. One, Tokyo is so clean. There was garbage basically nowhere. They don't have garbage cans just out and about for you to throw things away. When people stop for coffee, they sit in a cafe and they drink their coffee out of a mug. When people eat, even if you're eating at a convenience store, you are eating there and then throwing away your trash there. People aren't eating on the go and like making a mess on the go. Everything was so clean and so beautiful. The other thing about it was how quiet the city is. The second we got off the airplane, instead of feeling like the airport was just this loud, chaotic space, the airport was quiet. Everybody stood quietly behind this line waiting for luggage. People only stepped forward to the carousel once they saw their bags, and everybody stayed out of each other's way. It was just so respectful and organized, and I just was obsessed. The same thing is true on trains. When you're on the subway, the trains are quiet. People are resting, reading, have headphones in, but nobody's talking. Like, it really is a moment of quiet and of rest. And for us, it was just this beautiful reminder that even when life is busy, taking these moments of quiet to just decompress and reset is so powerful.
So it was amazing. If you ever have the opportunity to go to Japan, I'm putting together a recap of some of our favorite things. And you can find that in the show notes. I can't recommend it enough. It was totally life-changing and I cannot wait to go back. Now, the second major life update for us was we launched our oldest to college in September. So he is studying business and Japanese studies in school, which was the catalyst for us choosing to go on a family trip to Japan. And it was really a full circle moment to move him into school after we got back from our trip. We had exactly 2 weeks from the time we got home from Japan to the time that we took him to school. During that time, I will say we were running on adrenaline. We were cleaning up around the house, making sure he had everything for his dorm, making sure he had everything for his classes. And what was really special about the time was that my youngest was back in school. He started first grade. So it was just my oldest at home. And we got this wonderful quality time when we got back from our trip. Peyton and I would go and work out together. We, you know, ran errands and went shopping for dorm stuff and got way more uninterrupted time than I anticipated. During that last 2 weeks, it was really special. And like, I'm just so grateful for it. And then we moved him into his dorm, which was wild and wonderful. And we were there for a couple of days and then we all, you know, gave a hug and we're driving home. And I definitely cried on the way home. It's only a 90-minute drive from his school to the ferry, but we ended up taking like 6 hours to get home. We knew once we got back to our house, it was going to feel different, like not bad. Like a quarter of our household is now living somewhere else. And that's a big change. And so yeah, we just like made a bunch of stops down the highway. As we came home, we stopped at the outlet malls. We stopped at a Dave and Buster's and played some arcade games and went out to dinner and just did a bunch of things to prolong getting home. And I will tell you, it's been 6 weeks since we dropped him off. And the first 4 weeks were really, really hard for me. Not that they're not hard for all of us, but I just like intensely missed my baby. It's the end of one chapter and the beginning of the next. I mean, in reality, he's never going to live at home full time from this point on. He'll be at school and, you know, he'll obviously come home during breaks, but he'll probably study abroad, probably get his own place to live, and then, you know, we'll move out into the world. I didn't anticipate how sad I was going to be and the way that these waves of grief would just rush over me. I mean, truthfully, I couldn't record an episode in that first month because I was just so, there were days when I was like, am I getting out of bed today? Like I could just stay in bed and, you know, that's not really fair. Like I have the rest of my family here and I have work and I have my life and, you know, but I was just really, really sad. And that was very humbling. I think of myself as a pretty mentally resilient person and I was just, you know, devastated. And I will say, a turning point for us for sure was we had family weekend 2 weeks ago. And so we went up and stayed the weekend and got to see him in his element. And it was such a like a weight lifted off of my mom heart to see him loving school, loving his dorm, having this really wonderful routine of classes and the gym and hanging out with friends. This is what we've been working for the last 18 years. We have been getting ready for this, right? Like as a parent, we get you through obviously all of your schooling and then we send you to higher education. And this has always been the conversation is after high school, we go to college and get to study what you're passionate about and you get to expand your horizons and learn how to think deeper and really form an opinion and, you know, get curious about who you truly are on your own. And seeing the culmination of the last 18 years day in and day out and the choices that we make and the family rules that we have and all of those things, watching him be able to lean into this transition to college with such poise and confidence, I have never been prouder. I have been proud so many times over and I have never been prouder of just, you know, great he is doing. And it's been a really humbling experience to live in this duality and feel this sense of pride and joy for this new milestone for him, but also to feel this immense grief and sadness for the end of this chapter that's come to a close. And it can be really tiring to have these, you know, conflicting feelings. Therapy, I've talked about this before. I went to therapy. My husband came with me to a session a few weeks ago when I was still just really sad. We would be anywhere and I would just start crying. Like I was just really, really intensely in these emotions. And, I was like, I just don't even know what to do. And my therapist recommended that I take a day and just completely rest, like stay in bed, don't do anything, don't work. I wasn't in charge of meals that day or logistics. And my husband was so supportive. And I will say taking a day to just rest was exactly what I needed. That really was a turning point of feeling more like myself, just giving my body permission to rest and letting some of that stress dissipate. Since then, I have felt myself start to get back into my routines and get into those little habits during the day that help me to feel like my best self. And so that's a lot of what we're going to talk about today. And the last thing that happened in this last 6 weeks was I turned another year older. I read this on Instagram, so it has to be true. I just turned 41, which officially means I'm in my late 30s. So if you didn't know, if you are 30 to 37, you're 30. And if you're 38 to 40, you're in your mid. And if you're 41 to 45, you're in your late 30s. So congratulations to anybody who is in their late 30s, just like I am right now. My husband really wanted to throw me a 40th birthday party last year. And I could not do it, you guys. There were just so many things happening last year. And I was like, I'm just not mentally prepared to be in a party mood. And so 1 week before I turned 41, we finally celebrated my 40th birthday, called it Sunset on 40. And it felt like a really nice wrapping up to the last year. It's been a really pivotal year in our life. And it feels really good. Really, really good. This season has really reminded me that our lives are the compound interest of the days that we create. Each choice that we make adds up. And every day, with every choice, we cast a vote of who we want to be and the life we want to live. And that is really the heart of the episode today, the compound interest of your everyday life. The lives we live are built in layers. It's the small, consistent things that we do, we think, we prioritize, that shape the world around us and tell us where we're going. If you want to know how you got to where you are today, look back at the last 5 years of your life. If you want to know where you will be 5 years from now, look at the daily choices you're making today. When I think about compound interest, I think about how the little deposits over time create something so much bigger. Now, obviously, this is a finance principle, right? This is why whenever possible, we start investing early, and those little amounts that we invest build and build, and that compound interest continues to grow and grow. And we can take that same principle and apply it to the way that we live our lives. The tone of our home, the health of our relationships, even the peace in our mind, they're all shaped by what we choose daily. And I'm going to be really honest, this year has been so heavy, right? It's felt really heavy. The number of people, myself included, who are like, I am in a funk. Well, I think that that's fair. It has been a chaotic year, especially in the United States. It's been so challenging, so dividing. And I am reminded that our daily choices matter more than ever. Right now, the most meaningful thing that we can do is lean into what matters. The world around us needs us to be strong and engaged and open to leaning into what's right, leaning into taking care of one another, leaning into fighting the good fight, making sure that our communities have food security and healthcare and a place to live. Like I never thought in my wildest dreams that we would watch the government try to take away food security from children in our country. And yet here we are. And it can be totally outraging, right, to watch these things happen and to feel helpless. as we watch this chaos on such a large scale. And what I want to remind you is that while we can't change everything, we can make an impact in our homes and in our communities. And when we do that, we create a ripple effect that changes the world around us. The small acts of care create these ripple effects. But in order to have the capacity to give, we have to nurture ourselves too. It is obviously, you know, a little cliche, but you can't pour from an empty cup. And joy and rest are essentials. They are luxuries for sure, but they are essentials to make sure that you have the capacity to give in the biggest way possible. In times like this, especially in trying and challenging times, joy doesn't just appear. We have to be more intentional than ever about scheduling it. We need to schedule our joy, put it on the calendar in a way that we would a meeting or a deadline. I want you to have joy as part of your everyday. There are lots of episodes about how to infuse joy into your life, into your everyday. But more than anything, I want you to plan things that fill you up. I want you to schedule coffee with a friend. I want you to have your little treat Monday. I want you to have a quiet hour to take something that you love and just do it for fun. Lately, I have been guilty of doom scrolling, like in this kind of storm cloud season I've had. I found myself scrolling and really checking out and kind of dissociating. And one of my ahas during this day of rest was I need to have more ways to rest that aren't just laying in bed. And I need to have the opportunity to choose something besides scrolling my phone. So I have set up in our house a few rest stations, if you will, where I can do something with my hands or with my mind or whatever that is not phone related. And so the first one, we're getting into the rainy season. You know, we call it the big dark here in the Pacific Northwest. The sun sets before 5 p.m. So I set up two puzzle stations. One is in my living room. I have a little sofa that sits in a sunny corner. And we put a puzzle on the little coffee table there. And then I put a second puzzle on my dining table. And the puzzles are just there. This is very much an island culture thing. I mean, I know puzzles are popular everywhere, but something really fun about the Seattle ferries is when you take the ferry, if you walk around the passenger deck, you will almost always see a booth or two that has a puzzle on it. And they're just community puzzles. Anybody can sit down, add a couple pieces. And I think it is this beautiful reminder that even if you don't have a lot of time, you can make an impact. The ferries run all day long. Everybody gets maybe 15, 20 minutes to work on the puzzle. So maybe it's a 1,000-piece puzzle and you only put together 10 or 20 pieces. Well, after a few days, that puzzle is complete because everybody is doing their part. And I think that this is a beautiful metaphor for the impact we can have on the world around us. You don't have to do it all, but if you can do a little bit and we can all do a little bit, it really does make an impact. I love being able to get up from my desk and take a little break and spend 20 minutes working on a puzzle. I set a timer so that I don't get engrossed in it. I also set a timer for my work. One of my go-tos is setting a timer and saying, this is how long I'm dedicating to a certain task or to my joy, right? Because what I don't want is to get so lost in a puzzle that I don't actually take care of the things I need to take care of today. So I'll set a timer, do a puzzle for 20 minutes. I've also started keeping paperback books around the house so that I can pick up a book and read. And I will say, I know people sometimes have strong opinions about reading different books at the same time. So I have one book that is short inspirational essays. And then I have a fiction book in another room. And it's the idea that I can take a rest while taking a moment to do something for myself. Now, rest is not the absence of work. It's the opportunity for renewal. That's why it's so important. And I want you to remember that rest is essential for you to show up as your fullest self and live your most meaningful life. You need to rest because the rest is where the magic happens. It's where the ideas drop in. It's where clarity comes in. And it's where you give your body, your nervous system, your spirit a moment to pause and take inventory. You know, how am I doing? How am I feeling? Are the choices that I'm making aligning to where I want to go? We're going to talk about different types of rest And each one fuels a different part of who we are. We are multifaceted beings, right? Sometimes rest literally means I need to lay down and close my eyes. But there are different types of rest. So type number one, physical rest. This is sleep. This could be a gentle stretch. It could be movement that feels nourishing. Maybe it's taking a restorative yoga class. Maybe it is just laying down and closing your eyes for 15 minutes. Maybe it's stretching or using a foam roller to just kind of release any tension in your body. There's mental rest, right? Like when we're up to our eyeballs in work and calendars and carpool scheduling, our minds get full. I saw something online and it was like, it's not that I can't remember, it's that my memory card is full. And I was like, oh my gosh, my brain is a memory card. Sometimes it's at capacity, sometimes you gotta clear it out. So creating space for from constant thinking is a way to take a rest. That's where the idea of working on a puzzle comes in, or getting a coloring book with beautiful colored pencils. I love this sort of mental rest where we move from our left brain logical thinking into the right side, using the opportunity for creativity, using visualization. All of these things are a version of rest, especially from the day in, day out behind a computer, checking off the boxes perspective. Type number three, emotional rest. Give yourself permission to feel, to cry, to not be on for everyone. I have had my fair share of these moments in the last month and a half. And I will tell you, in earlier seasons of my life, I would have just shoved down all of these feelings and powered through, soldiered through, and not given myself the space to really feel what I was feeling. And I'll be very honest, it probably would have erupted in some sort of breakdown or lash out rather than just kind of processing in real time. And now I get that you can't always process your emotions in real time, right? We have commitments, we have jobs, we have people who rely on us. But creating space where you really just get to let your emotions go, like maybe you turn on The Notebook or a movie that just brings you to tears and you just let it out, turn on a song that gets you in your feels. But it's okay not to be on for everyone all the time. It's okay to give yourself an emotional release and then give yourself permission to breathe deep and keep moving forward. Number four, social rest. There are people who recharge by being alone, and then there are people who recharge by being with others. We all fall into both of these camps from time to time. I had a wonderful social rest with some girlfriends on Saturday night. The dress code was sweatpants required. The text thread said, "My hair is disgusting. I'm wearing no makeup." And we were like, great. We did face masks. We painted each other's nails. We ate a lot of popcorn. We had a glass of wine. We made a pot of tea. And it was so wonderful to spend a few hours with people who truly refill the joy in life rather than drain it. The people with whom you can just be yourself and, you know, ask for support, give support if somebody else is leaning in. I was so filled up after that. And I was just reminded again of how fortunate I am to have wonderful people like this in my life. Social rest is absolutely rest. You know, it was not an evening of productivity. It was just hanging out with girlfriends in the most relaxed state. And it was wonderful. Sensory rest. I think that this one is often overlooked and can make a huge impact. So quieting overstimulation, turning down noise, turning off the TV, turning down the lights. We always talk about big lights versus small lights in our house. And I have been working to transition my family from using the overhead can lights to lamps in the last couple years. Feels like a small pivot, but it really does create this relaxing environment in our home, and it feels way less like an interrogation and more like a place of rest in the evenings. And with these darker nights, we turn on market lights out in our yard, so there's like a soft glow outside. It's not pitch black. And then we have lamps that we turn on, and we turn on music while we're cooking and keep that a little quieter. But sometimes it's nice to just have a sensory reset and quiet the noise literally around you to give yourself a space to decompress. Now, mental rest and creative rest, this next one, kind of have some overlap. So creative rest is a rest that reignites wonder, I would say. It's creation. So think of creating art here, right? This is where, you know, maybe you're drawing, maybe you're playing a musical instrument, painting, like I love watercolors, anything that brings more beauty into the world. I don't know that we talk about this enough. I think the more that we can do to make this world a beautiful place, to make our homes beautiful, the more love we pour into the world around us. And then last but not least, spiritual rest, connecting to something bigger than yourself, your faith, your purpose, maybe sitting in stillness, finding meditation. When we intentionally rotate through these types of rest, we create resilience. And we also give ourselves permission to make rest part of our days. And when we do that, it gives us the strength to act, the strength to contribute, the clarity to create. And rest is not lazy. Rest is the most powerful thing that we can do to fill ourselves up and give in the biggest way possible. When we're well, we do good. When we are grounded, we can give freely. And when we're rested, we can change things. We can change things in our home, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, and in the world. When we talk about little luxuries on this show, lighting a candle, taking a long walk, preparing a beautiful meal, these acts aren't frivolous. They are acts of restoration that ripple outward. That's why they matter. It's not about what's happening at the surface level. It's about the feelings that we're creating when we incorporate these little luxuries into our days. It's about the peace that we feel in our hearts, the calmness that we feel in our bodies. Maybe you feel your shoulders relax as you light your favorite candle or turn on your favorite music. Maybe you feel yourself breathe deeper as you turn off the overhead lights and turn on a lamp. The feeling that we are embracing and cultivating by living our life with little luxuries is the feeling that emanates from us. It's the reason that you become a safe haven to those around you. It's the reason that you can affect change and be an influence to the people in your life. And that is where the change happens. The change happens from that feeling and that feeling radiating out from you. If this year has stretched you, I just want you to know you're not alone. So many of us are feeling that way. The beauty of this idea, right, of compound interest is that you can start with one small intentional choice today. All it takes is one choice at a time, whether it's resting, whether it's reconnecting, whether it's offering something kind to someone else, it all matters. We can create the most beautiful tomorrows by tending to our todays with care, with love, with joy, and by remembering that little luxuries are all around us and we have permission to create them whenever we want. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. I promise it's not going to be such a long time between this one and our next one. If this episode spoke to you, I hope you'll share it with a friend or with someone who could use a reminder that small intentional choices make all the difference. You can find me on Instagram at Little Luxuries Podcast, and you can download my Turning 40 Little Luxury Starter Pack at the link in the show notes. Remember that little luxuries aren't just little. They are the moments that make big changes in our life. Until next time, here's to finding beauty in the everyday. I'll see you soon.